Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Of course, there are two major stories, the biggest one being the political, which is that Santorum has shown he's not qualified to be a county coroner, let alone president. This dirtbag, this filth, this slimeball, this psychotic, insane fanatic has the nerve to encourage Michigan Democrats to vote in the GOP primary. It's unbelievable to me. Have you heard this story yet? Have you heard about this? Rick Santorum has taken campaign money. And he has run robocalls to Democrats telling them to go out to vote in Tuesday's open primary today in Michigan and to vote for Santorum to undermine Romney. This shows that Rick Santorum is not only not qualified to be president of the United States of America, but that he is more devious, more dirty, more desperate than Barack Obama. He's not qualified to be a county coroner, and how the Republican Party could permit a man of this low ilk to have stayed in the race this long, is it shows you the system is broken. And so what I want to play for you right now is a robocall that has been paid for by the dirtbag of dirtbag, Santorum, to the voters, the Democrat voters. Now listen to this.
Next Tuesday, Democrats will have the opportunity to vote in Michigan's open primary. All we have to do is ask for a Republican primary election ballot. Democrats can help embarrass Mitt Romney and expose him as the weak frontrunner that he is by supporting Rick Santorum on Tuesday. Please press 1 if you are committed to voting for Rick Santorum in next week's GOP primary. Please do not waste your vote on Ron Paul. Vote Rick Santorum on Tuesday, February 28th.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, what do you think about a Republican candidate who panders to Democrats to vote in a Republican open primary to undermine his opponent? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. At the same time, there is another rather disturbing story, and that's I don't have a word for him. The kid who shot and now killed three people has a lawyer. The lawyer has the nerve to get up there today and say T.J. Lane, the alleged shooter who everyone saw shoot these kids in cold blood. Listen to what this lawyer had the nerve to say in clips 1 and 2.
Let me say this. He's a very confused young man right now. He's very confused. He's very upset. He's very distraught himself. This is a very scary circumstance that I don't think he could have possibly even foreseen himself in the middle of.
How is his state of mind when you spoke to him? What is he like now?
Very upset.
Can you believe the sympathy for this piece of garbage? Now, what if you were the father or the mother of one of the high school students killed by this piece of garbage, and you have to listen to a reporter asking in a somber tone, what is his state of mind right now? And the lawyer says he's very upset and scared? This is unbelievable to me. Now, you know the gun violence is related directly to the vermin in Hollywood and the pollution that they've put out into the minds of the young. You know that, and I know that. And we're going to talk again about reining in the psychotics of Hollywood before they kill all of us. You know, and I know, there are no controls over the psychotics who create these images. You know, and I know, most of them are drug addicts, the sex maniacs, alcoholics. You know that these psychotics, the most psychotic people the world has ever seen since the Weimar Republic, are running Hollywood. And you know that they destroyed and poisoned the minds of our children. You know that, and I know that. And nobody will control them because they control the news business. They control the political theater. They control the very air you breathe. Somebody has to stop the psychotics of Hollywood. Okay, Now, we're going to go on to some other very big topics on the Savage Nation, and something that I was very, very hesitant to do, I'm going to do. My mother told me when I was young that the two topics of conversation to be avoided in polite company were politics and religion. But without politics, I'm not in business. And since in this in this campaign, politics and religion are kind of co-joined twins, we're going to talk about politics and religion. And so let me begin by asking you the following questions. Why do so many liberal Jews seem to hate evangelical Christians? Did you just gasp for air? Did you find yourself saying he couldn't have asked that? Let me ask it again. Why do so many liberal Jews seem to hate evangelical Christians so much? If you yourself are not a liberal Jew, but you're Jewish and you have liberal brethren, can you tell me why some of your relatives hate evangelicals? Let's get it out here, because we're going to ask this question over and over again until we finally embarrass the underbelly of this hatred. Why do so many evangelical Christians, on the other hand, seem to hate Mormons? I've asked that. It's an equal question in many ways. Now we have a third religious question. Why do so many radical Muslims seem to hate all other religions? How's that for a third question? Fourth question on religion. Do you believe that Obama is really a Christian? Now, according to Muslim law, as I know it, it is a descent based on patrilineal descent. His father was a Muslim. His birth father was a Muslim. The mother then married another Muslim from Indonesia. He was a Muslim, of course. So according to Islamic law, Obama was a Muslim at birth. And then Obama was sent to a Muslim school as a child. And yet the media never talked about his religion. If anyone brought it up, we were told to shut our mouths. Well, I'm not going to shut my mouth. If you can bash Romney because he's a Mormon, and you can bash Protestants because they're evangelicals, I'm going to ask the question of questions. Do you believe that Obama is really a Christian, as he says he is? Now let's go on. Let's go on. We'll go back. Why do so many liberal Jews seem to hate evangelical Christians? I want an answer. Why do so many evangelical Christians seem to hate Mormons? Why do so many radical Muslims seem to hate all other religions? Do you believe that Obama is really a Christian? And finally, we'll go back to the first question. Do you think Rick's sanatorium is qualified to be a county coroner, let alone the president of the United States? How do you feel about the tactic he just used? It shows he's dirtier. He's actually dirtier than any Democrat I've ever seen. He is not qualified for any position on a national level. New York, WOR, Dave, kick off the ball. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, I think Rick's sanatorium, I think he needs to check himself. Because, first of all, if you even heard, I just heard the robocall from you. Thanks a lot, Mike Savage, regarding that. Why is he taken away from Ron Paul? Ron Paul was the first person to actually call him out on it. The guy's a true fake.
No, but wait, why? How do you feel about a Republican sending out robocalls to registered Democrats, telling them to cross over and vote in a Republican primary just to undermine his opposition? What do you think about that?
I think it shows the desperation on the Santorum campaign regarding that they have to reach out to Democrats because they don't have enough GOP voters on their side.
All right, I hear you on that. Pittsburgh, PA, Jim, what do you think about Sanatorium's tactics?
Well, he was my representative. He was my congressional representative, then my senator. I don't have a problem with the tactic. He's going to need Democratic voters. I have a problem with a wet toast Romney. I have a problem with a Ron Paul, who I think doesn't get much of anything except financial stuff. I don't think Obama is a real Christian based on things out of his own mouth. I'm not sure why evangelical Christians have anything against Jewish liberals.
My question was, why do so many liberal Jews hate evangelical Christians? And then I asked, why do so many evangelical Christians seem to hate Mormons?
Okay. If they're good evangelical Christians, they shouldn't be hating Mormons. They should be loving on them just like anybody else. And I don't get why liberal Jews would hate us, because I think most of us are actually standing lockstep with Israel. I know
that's correct. The Israel has no support in America except amongst the evangelical Christian community and a certain, and I say certain segment of the Jewish community, by no means the largest segment. In fact, the liberal Jewish community does not support Israel. The liberal Jewish community has undermined Israel, is anti-Zionist, and are crypto-Palestinian supporters. You're a brilliant man that you can remember all the questions and answer them all. And I thank you so much for joining a dialogue today on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Look, I know politics is a blood sport. I know politics is dirty. I understand that. But even within the realm of win at all costs, dirty politics, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen a Republican candidate urging Democrats to go out to an open primary, vote in the Republican primary against Romney to show he's a weak candidate. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of Romney. I know Romney's a liberal. I know Romney's a Massachusetts liberal. I know that. You think I don't know that? You think I don't know that he's going to be sort of a little to the right of Obama and that's about it? That's about all we're going to get out of him. But the big but is I'll sleep better at night knowing Romney's in the White House than the individual who is there right now for a number of reasons, which I'll elucidate as time goes on. Under Romney, I doubt very much that you or I would wind up in an internment camp. Under Obama, I'm not sure. You want me to go down the list? You see, I've tried to explain this to my audience, that there may be only a few degrees of separation between a liberal Republican like Romney and even a communist like Obama. Let's put it that way. But those few degrees of separation become magnified the farther out you go in time. And so although there's a 2 or 3 degree separation in some areas, such as taxation, there's almost no difference between Romney and Obama, by the way. On social issues, there might be 2, 3, 4, 5 degrees of separation. But if you draw it out over time, it becomes enormous, the difference. And so on civil liberties, I'm sure Romney is a far safer man than Obama. Obama scares me to my core. I can give you all the reasons in the world. That's why I wrote Trickle Down Tyranny, which will be out in about a month. I fear the man. I think he's the most divisive, dangerous, corrupt individual who has ever invaded the White House. And I can prove it, as I do in 300 pages. So don't think I don't know what I'm talking about. But let's go back to Sanatorium. I've never seen anything like this. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about Rick Sanatorium running robocalls amongst Democrats telling them to go vote against Romney in a Republican primary? Sam in New York, WOR, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Savage. The first person that I blame the most for these robocalls, it all comes back to Rush Limbaugh, because he told his listeners back in 2008 to vote Democrat for Hillary Clinton to prolong the election. And, of course, we all know what goes around comes around. So this.
Wait. I don't believe what you just told me. Limbaugh told his audience, the basically conservative Republicans, to cross over and do this in the Democrat primaries?
Yes, Dr. Savage. He told his listeners to prolong the election. That way it would screw up the process. It would call Operation Chaos. And he thought it was a success, but I knew it was going to be a disaster. And now it's come back and fight us in the butt all of a sudden.
So Limbaugh suggested the very same tactic against Democrats years ago. I wasn't aware of that. I never listened to his show. But I have to take your word for it.
It's called Operation Chaos. All you got to do is Google it. It was all Limbaugh's stupidity, and I knew this was going to be a disaster from day one.
That is unbelievable to me. It just shows you that there are things going on that even I'm not aware of in the media, and I thought I kind of know what's going on. Maybe I'm naive about these things. Maybe I'm naive. So who would you vote for? Would you vote for a Romney on the ticket, yes or no?
Yes.
Would you vote? What if the candidate picked was Obama versus Santorum? Would you vote for Santorum?
Unfortunately, yes.
You mean anybody but Obama?
Pretty much.
That's what I feel. I feel that even a despicable individual such as Gingrich, I'd have to vote for him over Obama. Because although he's a lying slob, and although he lies about everything, in my opinion, I would man is going. Do you agree with that? Do you think I'm being overly dramatic?
No, it makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, it does make sense if you actually study what this man has done. The most corrupt administration in American history. There's never been Warren Harding was a corrupt president. There's the old Teapot Dome scandal, which you can Google on that one. But this guy has conducted one scandal after another. The Solyndra scandal, you notice that's been covered up by the FBI. Remember they seized the records of Solyndra and we thought we were going to see justice? You've seen nothing, have you? Why? That's why the FBI seized the records, to make sure nobody else sees them, so they can bury them before the election so nobody would even know what Obama had done. Now there's the Light Squared scandal. Did you see that one today? You think it's a small one? You got a company that was creating a broadband wireless internet service that would have interfered with GPS, was going to cause Air Force jets to collide in the sky or fall out of the sky. It didn't stop them because they visited the Obama White House numerous times. They got approvals from the FCC. They got approvals from Obama administration, one after the other. And today they just killed it. In fact, the CEO resigned because the ties to the White House were so strong. There's nothing that these people wouldn't do for a campaign dollar. Nothing. And so that's why we, the people, are in such trouble, by the way. I want to go back to some of the other questions because I didn't get one call. Why do so many liberal Jews seem to hate evangelical Christians? Now, what triggered this question in me is the fact that there's a man named Mickey Weinstein who has a vendetta against the military, in my opinion. Mickey Weinstein is Jewish. Mickey Weinstein is a lawyer. Mickey Weinstein is a U.S. Air Force graduate. And Mickey Weinstein goes after the military on a regular basis if he hears so much as a prayer. In fact, he wants a black general who used the word God in one of his prayers to be court-martialed because he hates evangelical Christians to that extent. Now, why would Mickey Weinstein, a liberal Jew, hate evangelicals to this extent? I don't understand the sickness, and I demand an answer. I want a Jewish listener to call this show and explain the hatred to me. I don't understand it. Do you? I'll be right back to take your calls.
Savage.
Like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow.
Yes, yes, yes. Show business and politics and religion all mixed together in the Savage Nation. Of course, the Arizona-Michigan primaries are prime in your mind, and we're all waiting to see if Sanatorium can undermine Romney. And we know what Romney will give us. And as I said earlier, there's a good reason to fear Romney, but not as much reason to fear Romney as we fear Obama. We'll give you the exit polls as they come out. They'll probably come out during the next hour. But the world is a light right now. Obama has lit the Middle East. The Middle East is burning. And all because of Soros's money, in my opinion. Brzezinski and Carter's advice, Hillary Clinton's quarterbacking, and Obama's nod. We have now Islamist governments across the Arab crest. We have Syria on fire. And you think that the opposition in Syria are going to be more pro-Western? It's because you don't understand who they are. They're not more pro-Western. You don't understand what's going on. I do. This man has bungled foreign policy to an extent that you can't even imagine. It's the greatest foreign policy disaster in history under Obama. And yet, because either the people in the press don't understand it, or because they're so owned by the Obama school and the Democrat machine that they don't want to tell you. In Maine, there's a GOP senator, a real a rhino, Olympia Snow, really is as Democrat as they come. She says she's leaving the Senate because of the polarization in the District of Columbia. That's never the reason. It's because she can't win. They say three-term moderate GOP senator from Maine cites frustration over my way of the highway political climate, and she's calling it quits. They don't call it quits if they think they can win again. It means somebody more conservative is going to come up and beat her. That's what it comes down to. That's the reason she's getting out. Serve the state of Maine. Yeah, serve the state of Maine. I love when they serve, public servant, you know. So we got a lot of worries here in this country. We got the dirtiest political system in the world, It's got to be the dirtiest political system in the world. Could it be any dirtier anywhere else? Tell me how it could be dirtier than sanatorium, taking millions of dollars of campaign cash and telling Democrats to go and vote in an open primary and vote for him as opposed to Romney. Does it get any dirtier than that? Why do so many evangelical Christians seem to hate or distrust Mormons? Why do so many radical Muslims seem to hate all other religions? Why do so many liberal Jews seem to hate evangelical Christians? These are questions that are worthy of discussion because religion right now is very much a part of the political discussion. And what's interesting to me is that it was not a part of the discussion when Obama ran, even though he was the first Muslim named president. Whether or not he's a Muslim is his business, frankly. But there's no question in my mind that with a middle name like Hussein, who is a very famous and seminal figure in the religion of Islam, you would think that the press would have asked what his beliefs were. He went to a madrasa. I mean, therefore, and because his father was a Muslim, by patrilineal descent, he is a Muslim. Now, that doesn't mean he is a practicing Muslim and doesn't mean he's a bad guy if he is. There are many Muslims who fear the radicals as much as the Christian next door. They don't speak out because they can't and they're afraid of them. And you can't blame them. So there are many questions to ask. And I don't know if you have the answers. I just think it's very important to discuss them. So let's start with the evangelicals versus Mormons. I want an answer on that. I genuinely do not know it because I can't understand it. Don't both religions accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? I don't understand this one. But then, you know, actually, I could start to understand it because amongst the Jewish religion, there are many different sects, S-E-C-T-S. And even amongst the ultra-Orthodox, the black hats, so to speak, the black coats, you have the Lubavitch and you have the Satmar. There's actually another sect as well, or two. The Satmar and the Lubavitch hate each other. They very often beat each other up. And they're doing it for religious reasons? No. I think they're doing it for monetary reasons. They're fighting over the turf. The Satmar wear fur hats. The Lubavitch don't wear fur hats. One believes in one and one believes in the other. One hates Israel and believes it's a disaster and the Lubavitch love Israel. So don't think that all Orthodox Jews are the same. Once you start to understand religion, you get to a fanaticism that you can hardly comprehend, which is why so many people turn to those bumper stickers that say, you know, my co-pilot is dog. You understand? At first you can get mad at them. But when you start to study religious fanaticism, you can understand why people turn away from religion altogether, by the way. Las Vegas, David, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you hit the nail right on the head. I didn't think you were going to answer my question. You posed the question, and living here in Las Vegas, I've got friends and colleagues in both of these factions, both the evangelicals and the Mormons, and you nailed it right on the head. It comes right down to the fact that when an evangelical pastor sets up his church, the people who donate, there's small costs that go to overhead. A lot of the money goes directly to him. In the Mormon church, like Mitt Romney, he served as a bishop, he served as a leader. Those leaders do not take any money for themselves. They serve, and they do it voluntarily. But the missionaries that are out there with the Mormons knocking on doors, possibly taking away clients, anybody in the business world understands the concept. It's the reason why the evangelicals have that angst against the Mormons. Couldn't agree with you.
So it's all about, in essence, attendees inside the church, which translates to money.
Correct. The religion, like you said, family values, they are basically identical, if not identical.
Right.
The issues, the important Republican or conservative issues, they're identical almost.
Identical, right. And they both believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, correct?
That is correct. Absolutely.
So how could they hate each other? Why do I hear so many evangelicals have a distrust for Mormons? It's all money then?
Follow the money. You've taught us all that, and we've heard that cliche. It couldn't be more true in this case.
Do you find it offensive that I'm asking these questions today on the Savage Nation?
Not at all. And the reason is because I wish I could answer other questions that you posed. It has everything to do with what's going on in Michigan right now. Why is sanatorium over there doing what he's doing to try to pull Democrats? If that's not a message to every conservative that's out there that he is trying to tap into the Democrats, their whole case and foundation as to that Santorum is the conservative alternative just went up in smoke if he's trying to pull as many Democrat votes as he can.
Yes, it means that he's not to be trusted because if his tactics are that devious, What good are his politics? I don't care whether he calls himself a conservative. If he's devious, he's untrustworthy as far as I'm concerned. You see, that's the difference between him and Romney. Romney's not a devious man. You'd have to agree with me on that.
Yes. He's willing to say.
See, Romney is a straight up, I think what you see is what you get with Romney. Romney is a straight up, nice guy, liberal Republican, period, end of story. That's what he is.
Paul, many have said, and you've said it, that's his downfall. We've heard you over and over say that he's not, if he would just get mean and say some of the things like we do sometimes, we get heated if he would do that, but he's not, it's not in his nature.
But the Republican advisors, I read an article today, are terrified that even by showing even a scintilla of conservatism, such as his opposition to the so-called Dream Act, giving immigration status to illegal alien children and the free schooling, he opposes that, his support for cracking down on illegal immigrants, they're afraid that that will backfire on them. You hear? That's the Republican Party of today. It's worthless. The RNC is a worthless body. All they are is a business group. You know, you talk about Democrat, Republican, do you think that there's really a big difference between them at the top of the heap? You know it's just two businesses competing with each other.
That's correct.
It's Nordstrom's versus whoever competes with Nordstrom's. It's Mercedes versus Audi. That's all it comes down to, the Democrat versus Republican. You take two cars that are very close to each other in style, in performance, and in price. The companies basically are fundamentally competing with each other for market share, and that's what the Democrats and Republicans are doing. That's the problem. That is the problem. One-party system, two-party Monty. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. How do you feel about Sanatorium doing this? We have not had one Jewish caller who has the nerve to step up and answer why so many liberal Jews hate evangelical Christians so much. You know, I've asked this question for years of myself. The evangelical community is the strongest supporter of Israel in the entire world. Without it, there'd be no Israel, by the way. I don't think Israel could survive without them. And yet liberal Jews, when I say liberal Jews, I'm talking about the Larry David style crowd in Hollywood. I'm talking about that kind of crowd. You understand what I'm saying? They hate evangelicals. In my analysis, they have a bigotry that I've never seen. Well, I have seen such bigotry, and I do see such bigotry all the time, and I read of such bigotry, but it's never discussed. You're not allowed to say that a liberal Jew can be a bigot. Somehow it's considered to be an oxymoron. But there are many liberal Jews who are so bigoted towards evangelicals that unless I feel like lancing the wound and expunging the pus that lies within this hatred, because I want to stop it in this country. I want all of the disease to be shown to the sunlight, and then perhaps the disease will end. That's exactly why I'm doing this. And I'm running a huge risk. The reason I'm running a huge risk is because the power of organizations that do not even permit this discussion. You know who they are. You know that they have never come to my aid when I needed them. You know that I was singled out. And I'm the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain, by the way. And yet they never have come to my aid. The so-called liberal Jewish groups, the ADL, all of the big mouths that you hear every other day. You don't hear one word from them in my defense. Who are they? They're just a business. They're a lobbying group. They're no different than any other lobbying group. They may as well be the solar industry. What makes them special? What makes them special when they're just lobbyists for their cause, I ask? And as I say, I want the sunlight shined on this particular question. So let's take the callers. Some of you are supporting Sanatorium in running the robo-ads. New York, WOR, Selma, go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. Sanatorium cross party lines is appealing to American public. And yes, all is fair and love and war. Bottom line, during the election, it's going to appeal to both Americans. I don't care what party you're from. Bottom line, I'm a Democrat. But I'm a Democrat like Koch with sanity. I have conservative.
Wait. So you're a Democrat, so that's why you approve of Sanatorium's undermined behavior. Because Democrats approve of this behavior.
I have conservative values, and I can't see the Troy Donahue Republican Romney winning. He doesn't have the gumption, and he has the money, but he's not going to beat Obama with his billions.
But you said you're a Democrat, so you want Obama to win.
With sanity. I have convictions.
Wait, can I stop you for a minute? You're a Democrat, so you want Obama to win no matter what, correct?
I want Obama to win.
What?
I am an American with convictions.
I'm not here. Wait, stop. Will you stop for a minute? I'm not following you. You said you're a Democrat. That means you will vote for Obama no matter who the candidate is on the other side. Yes or no?
No, I never said that. I said I am. My party membership is Democrat, but it appears to me for the longest time that would never vote for him. He's just not in sync with my convictions. I am.
Who? Who? You know, Obama isn't in sync with your convictions.
Excuse me?
You said Obama isn't?
No, he's not. He's not in sync with my convictions as a conservative Democrat. And quite
so, who would you vote for if it was Obama versus Romney? Would you vote for Romney or Obama?
Oh, Romney, absolutely.
And who would you vote for if it was Gingrich versus Obama?
Gingrich, absolutely.
So how do you call yourself a Democrat then?
Listen, that's the problem with people. We stick ourselves with these,
But why would you say to me, I'm a Democrat, but if you're now saying you don't really want a party affiliation, why wouldn't you just say I'm no longer a Democrat, I'm an independent, like you, Michael?
Okay, maybe you want to call me that. That's fine. Bottom line of the story.
Why don't you change your party affiliation to independent and teach a lesson to these two gangs that run the country and have run the country into a bankruptcy? You know what I'm saying? You know and I know that they have two gangs and they've run the country into bankruptcy. You know that.
That sounds like a mighty good idea necessarily.
There you go. It is not mighty good necessarily. 1-800-449-8255. How do you feel? I can ask the same question. School shooting called random. So his mouthpiece told T.J. Lane, the 17-year-old murderer, accused of killing three students at Chardon High School in Ohio, told him to say it was random. You know why his vermin lawyer told him that? Because now he can claim a mental defense, the Twinkie defense. The kids in the cafeteria didn't call it random. They said this piece of garbage, this cowardly piece of crap, this goth, went in with a .22 caliber pistol and went right up to the table with these boys and targeted them and shot them in the head and neck. Now the lawyer says, call it random. Say it's random. That way you can claim you didn't know what you were. My shingle. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Welcome back. Thank you for holding and listening to me. I will tell you this. I've sacrificed for my audience every day, and I just sacrificed. I don't know if you know this, but in one of my studios, I have a pinball machine. It's a Sopranos pinball machine that I've had for years. And sometimes during breaks, I play pinball to keep my mind sharp. I just had a ball that it wouldn't stop. It was like over $1 million on the first ball, and I had to let it go to come back to the microphone just to show you how much I love this show. Do you ever get a game like a pinball game? Sometimes the ball will shoot right down the middle, and you get zero, and then another time you can't stop. The ball keeps coming because you know how you do it. You're supposed to keep the flippers set out, and then you much better chance. Unbelievable. Dems grow confidence of House win. Oh, God, help this country if she's back. God help this country if she comes back with that hammer. Can you imagine a country again under the hammer of Nancy Pelosi? Can you imagine anything like this? If we ever see this, if Democrats were to win back the House, God forbid, it would be unique in post-Civil War U.S. political history if this happened. If they ever did this, you can blame one man for it, and that would be Newt Gingrich for running the dirtiest campaign in history. Yes, Romney's a weak guy in some ways. That's because he's a good man. You see, he may be too good for politics. That's something you should understand. He may be actually too good for this dirty business of politics. He actually practices what he preaches. He actually practices what his religion teaches him, which is be good to your fellow man. That's why he can't get down and dirty with any of the other candidates. Why he can't even get down and dirty with Obama, who's the dirtiest president in American history. If you study the corruption, if you study it as I have, you have to agree with me. You think it's just rhetoric? It is not. It's shocking. They do it nakedly right in front of your eyes, and they get away with it because the media owns them. Or they own the media, rather. And the Republicans won't even mention the scandals. So we're stuck. But as I say to you, if the Democrats, God forbid, win back the House, where they only need a network of four seats to ensure control. This swap of control of the two chambers of Congress would be unique in post-Civil War U.S. political history. It could happen. It could happen. The fact of the matter is the Republicans are running the most disastrous, suicidal presidential campaign in their history. And that is a result of many different things. The candidates, primarily the candidates, but secondarily the low level of advisors that they all have. They're all about the same. The low level that advises Romney, that tells him stay away from the Savage Nation, don't go on any conservative talk show, avoid conservatives, show conservatives that you have disdain for them. This kind of advice is costing Romney the support that he needs to get elected. I don't need him on the show. I'll be here long after he's gone. I'll tell you right now. Say he doesn't get the nomination and it's one of the others. I'll still be in business, God willing, and no one will hear of him again. He'll give lectures. He'll give book tours. It's not like I need him. What do you think? One appearance by Romney is going to change my ratings and change my business? It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. But it might get him some of the independent vote that he needs if he actually came on the show and showed that he cares about you instead of spitting at you. So you see, it's really all about them, not about me. I don't need them. They need you. And I'm the vehicle to you. So why is it they avoid you? Why does Romney avoid coming on this show? Of course he'll go on Fox News. Fox News today is what CNN was 5 years ago. That's all there is to it. In fact, today CNN is a better source of news than Fox News. They're a better news gathering organization. I watch CNN as I do the others, and I watch them with a filter in my mind. I deconstruct them. Some of them I can't watch at all. Wolf Blitzer, I'd rather eat polluted pike than watch Wolf Blitzer. I'd rather eat contaminated gefilte fish than watch him.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Dark and day is light. I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right.
I walk the line as the Savage Nation. Unsanitary sanatorium is the question. Is he qualified to be even a county coroner? Now that it's been shown that the man is dirtier than the dirtiest of Democrats, my vote is no. Sanatorium is not qualified to be so much as a county coroner, let alone run for the presidency, never mind his appeal to the Christian base with the Satan nonsense. For him to urge Democrats to go out and vote for him against Romney in the open primary shows me that he is as dirty as they come and he's not qualified to be on the national stage. At least that's one man's opinion. And I'd like to play for you. I want you to listen with your own ears and judge for yourself what unsanitary sanatorium has been running in Michigan. Listen.
Tuesday, Democrats will have the opportunity to vote in Michigan's open primary. All we have to do is ask for a Republican primary election ballot. Democrats can help embarrass Mitt Romney and expose him as the weak frontrunner that he is by supporting Rick Santorum on Tuesday. Please press 1 if you are committed to voting for Rick Santorum in next week's GOP primary. Please do not waste your vote on Ron Paul. Vote Rick Santorum on Tuesday, February 28th.
I can see why they threw him out in Pennsylvania. They got to see the underbelly of this creature, Santorum. You know, the more they talk sanctimoniously about religion and God and Jesus, watch out. That's all I can say. Methinks it's along the lines of all of those scandals of the 80s, you know, where they caught in cars with the You know, when I hear them waving the Bible around, I usually know that it's not a good person. Because the people I know who are basically good people never talk about their religion. They don't wave it in your face. They don't try to proselytize you. They don't make you listen to them about it. And this sanatorium, he's appealing to the most base instincts in the electorate. Now he goes out and shows you who he really is. Just a filthy, dirty politician, in my estimation. So, you know, look, we can talk about this from today until kingdom come. He did it already. And my mother told me years ago not to talk about politics or religion. It shows you she was wrong, because I built my career on politics, and now I want to introduce a little more religion. I want to ask you why the media, which is so obsessed with Mitt Romney's Mormonism, had nothing to say about Hussein Obama. Hussein is a very powerful name. Hussein is a very powerful figure in the Islamic tradition. Hussein is, or was, the son of a descendant, I think the daughter, of the Prophet Muhammad. And he organized a tremendous revolution within Islam against another sect of Islam. And he fought against a group in Islam called the Umayyads. And he was killed as a result. And he was beheaded in the Battle of Karbala in 680 by Shmir ibn Athil Washwan, whatever that means. The point is that revenge for Hussein's death was turned into a rallying cry that helped undermine the caliphate at the time and gave rise to a powerful Shia movement that goes on to this day. He's the grandson of Muhammad. Gave rise to a powerful Shia movement. That's the name Hussein. So if I said to you that it was Mitt Jesus Romney, what do you think Wolf Blitzer would be saying about Mitt Jesus Romney? What do you think about the marionettes on General Electric's stations would be saying if it was Mitt Jesus Romney? They'd be asking questions about, is he qualified to run for office because of his deep associations with the Christian religion? And the usual suspects within the liberal Jewish community who go ballistic if there's so much as a prayer at a funeral for a soldier, such as Mickey Weinstein, one of those who fights the military every time there's a prayer, gets me sick when I see this man's operations, makes me ill to think that this is permitted to go on, that one man with a law degree can wreck an entire tradition in the military. What do you think he might be saying if it was Mitt Jesus Romney? And yet they're silent with it's Barack Hussein Obama. And so therefore we now have to talk about religion and politics. It's actually critical to talk about religion and politics and keep talking about it right up to the general election and ask the questions that have never been asked, which is, if we have a president who was born a Muslim, which he was, because his father was a Muslim, and by patrilineal descent, he is a Muslim. His mother sent him to a madrasas in Indonesia. That's a given fact. Now, whether he converted to Christianity is his. I think he needs to explain that to the people. I think he needs to say, although I was born a Muslim and I respect Islam, I am a Christian and I will prove it because I sat in Jeremiah Wright's church for 20 years, where I learned to be a communist Christian. And then when that didn't work politically, I threw Jeremiah Wright overboard. And now I march around and God only knows, you know, what drum he's marching to now. Very important question, especially since Romney could be the front runner and his Mormonism will become the new target of the vermin in the media. You know that. 1-800-449-8255, which leads us to these questions. Why do so many evangelical Christians distrust or hate Mormons? Why do so many liberal Jews seem to hate evangelical Christians? Why do so many radical Muslims seem to hate all other religions? That's a very interesting set of questions. Also, a third student has died from the school murders in Ohio from that rat who shot them in the head and neck with a .22 and now says he did so on a random basis, which I don't believe for a minute. He targeted them so far as I could see. And he did. Now his lawyer lawyered him up and said, don't say you picked on them. Say you were deranged on Twinkies. And you were picked on because you're this or you're that. And you didn't know who you were shooting at. You're so sorry. You're full of remorse. We'll get you off. Don't worry. We'll get you off the hook. You'll get you off the hook. Now, by the way, in the state in which he committed these murders, he could be tried as an adult in Ohio. And he should be tried as an adult because he was adult enough to get the gun, buy the gun, bring the gun, and aim for their heads and necks, according to what I see. I say throw him into the general population, this punk goth, and see how long he lasts. That's what I say. It's a sickening story. Could you imagine Could you imagine if you were, God forbid, were one of the parents of one of these children whose life was taken from them by this piece of garbage? And then the lawyer, Bob Farinacci, gets up and says that he's very confused, and he's a very confused, upset young man right now. By the way, the shooter, T.J. Lane, was enrolled at Lake Academy Alternative School. Alternative School. Does that ring a bell to you? It's an institution for at-risk youths. Alternative schools are a complete and total waste of money and waste of time. And I have told you this before. Do you remember Rat Boy, who turned on America and went and joined the Muslims, the Muslim army, and fought against our special forces? Remember? And Rat Boy's still in jail? Rat Boy went to an alternative school right here in Northern California, Marin County, a school for miscreants who shouldn't even be in school. But nevertheless, Rat Boy went to this, I think, Temescal, Beowulf, what's it called? Temescal, yeah, alternative school. Alternative school. They sit around and smoke dope all day, and they go to the racetrack to study equine behavior. That's an alternative school. That's considered school today. Pay for that. So this is what he went to. This is what he came out. The Rat Boy's mother became a... Remember, Rat Boy's mother left her Christian faith and became a Catholic. Rat Boy's father left his mother and went off with another man. So no, the Rat Boy himself became a Muslim and went and fought for the other side. So now you say, why do the children become this way? Well, until we know more about his parents, I don't think we can explain it, but I don't really care what about they did. I know many people who come from screwed up parents who made a decent life for themselves. I don't care what his parent did. All I care is that he executed these kids in cold blood and he should get the death penalty. And if he doesn't get it, it'll be a great miscarriage of justice, in my opinion. It's horrible, just horrible to see young people's lives thrown away like this. It's awful. It can eat your heart out. But so let's go back to the main question, sanatorium. Is unsanitary sanatorium qualified to be president now that you know he put out a robocall to Democrats urging them to undermine Romney? Arizona, Laura, you're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion, please.
I voted for Rick Santorum today, but if I'd known that, I would not have voted for him. It's a matter of integrity.
Integrity. So, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Romney wouldn't do a thing like that. Would he say go to the Democrats, go out and vote for... I don't think he would have done it.
No, I don't either. But I think if he wants to use that tactic against our enemy, I probably wouldn't be so upset.
Well, I understand that, but that's a separate question. He used it against Romney, who, although he's a liberal Republican, which I have to keep repeating, unto itself, that's not a crime. He's entitled to be a liberal Republican. But you do know that I know that he's probably a very decent man. Don't you agree with that?
I agree. And one reason Christians don't distrust Mormons doctrinally is because Mormons believe that Jesus Christ is the brother of Satan. And so that touches Christians' hearts, and they kind of are distrustful of that.
Is that true? They believe Jesus is the brother of Satan?
Yeah, and another reason they distrust...
Wait a minute, so that makes Rick Santorum Jesus' brother?
Well, in a manner of speaking, you could say, yes.
Well, why would the Mormon Church teach that? I don't quite understand the doctrine. What is that? So does that make... How does that affect the view of Jesus? You mean in every family there could be a good... In every family there could be a good brother and a bad brother. Why is that such a cockamamie idea unto itself?
Well, to Christians, Jesus Christ is God, so he came to earth. He's God. He died on the cross.
Ah, I see. So he can't be man.
No, the Bible says he's fully man and fully God, but no, he's not like any other man. He is God, so you're taking away his holiness when you say that Satan is his brother.
Wow. So that's the dissension between Mormons and fundamentalist Christians. Boy, it's complicated. It really is. To me, you know what religion is? Religion is really simple. It should teach you to be kind to your fellow man the best you can. Because what is religion all about but constraining the animal impulses of man? That's what it comes down to. Not all animal impulses are good, you know. Just because it feels good doesn't mean you do it. You understand that by now, don't you, even though you're a reformed hippie? I mean, you were taught that in the 60s by the furry freak brothers. If it feels good, do it. Look where it got you. Take a look at yourself in the mirror. But the fact of the matter is, all of religion is about controlling the more base instincts of man or the base impulses of man. I don't care what the religion is. It's supposed to constrain us so that we get along with each other. Now, if a religion doesn't do that, to me, it's not a religion. It's something entirely different. And that gets us right to religions on earth, one in particular, that teaches their adherents to kill everybody else or convert them. That to me is not a religion. I'm sorry. That sect of Islam is not a religion if it teaches you to kill and murder in the name of your religion. That's not a religion. And that's the fundamental problem we're having with our politicians who know this to be true and are afraid to say it. And unless they say it, we're dead. We're all finished. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's the question really of the night. Could Democrats decide the winner in Michigan? The reason we're asking the question is because Slimy Santorum has put out a robocall urging Democrats to go out and vote for Santorum to show how weak Romney is. To me, that's the end of the road with this creep who was thrown out of office in his own state. That's the end of the road. I don't care what he says. I don't care how conservative he claims he is. I don't care about the Satan waving. That's the end of the road for me because, you know, I don't care what he says. It's how he behaves that matters. And if his behavior is this despicable, then he can take his conservative flag and you know what he can do with it. He's not a conservative if he behaves this way. He has no honor, no integrity. What does that tell you about the man? You want him to be a president? Well, and you may as well stick with Obama because they're about on the same level. He'll tell you one thing and do another. That's my opinion. I like your opinions, by the way. Albany, New York, Steve loves Santorum. Steve, you're up. Go ahead and make your case.
Well, yeah, I think you're wrong on this one, Michael, because Santorum, first of all, he's doing a great job, okay? Mitt Romney all along has been throwing barbs at this guy all along, hammering him. Right now, he's doing the same robocalls. He's doing the same exact thing. In 2008, Rick Santorum did a promo for him against John McCain, where he said that Romney was conservative and he was his pick. Well, he's playing.
Wait, but they didn't do the robocall to Democrats.
But that doesn't matter.
That's the difference. It does matter. It matters very much if Santorum will go to that low level. Of course it matters.
No, it doesn't, because right now, you want a fighter in there. You remember John McCain. You were the one, Michael, who was lambasting McCain at his own rally. McCain was sitting there apologizing to his own people how good Barack Obama was.
Yes, I remember. It was disgusting. Absolutely, McCain was an embarrassment.
And then in your last segment, you just finished saying how sweet Romney is that he can't even say something bad against Obama. Listen, this guy's going to lose. We need to change the tide. And I'll tell you what else.
Whoa, hold on. I hear what you're saying. I know where you're going. But my position is that Santorum's behavior is not on the up and up, and he's not to be trusted. And if you can't trust him in his behavior, in the sense that he goes to the Democrats and tells them to undermine his opposition within the Republican Party, how can you trust that he's really conservative when it comes right down to it?
Michael, because that's been done. There was one of your callers earlier said the same thing. That thing with Rush Limbaugh's been going on. That's as everybody in the world knows about that chaos, okay? Limbaugh did that against Obama with Hillary Clinton. And that's a tactic.
So, in other words, Limbaugh did what Alinsky advises. In other words, Limbaugh, the great conservative, has engaged in Alinsky-like tactics in the last election.
Listen to me. We're in a fight for our lives. This country.
Oh, so therefore, why keep talking about Alinsky and liberals then? If you're using the same tactics, then what's the difference?
The difference is that we need to change this country. It's either do it.
All right, fine. Yes, we need to change the country. And Santorum shows he's not to be trusted to do it.
But you need a conservative in there. And Rick Santorum.
How do you know he's a real conservative?
Listen to me. If you know this guy.
He looks to me like he's just a Machiavellian politician along the lines of Arlen Specter. He'll do anything to win, including undermining Romney.
Do you think Romney's better? This guy here, let me tell you something. He's going to lose because he is no different.
The problem. Let's say Romney's the pick, unless he gets much more aggressive, he will lose against Obama. He has to get much more macho. He has to stop the pussyfooting around, and he has to go for the throat or he won't win. It's as simple as that. I understand that. Having said that, Romney is a far better man, in my opinion, as a man. Much better man than Santorum. I don't like Santorum after this.
Savage.
In Now, we're talking about the Democrats who are being called upon by Santorum to come into the Republican primary, which is permitted, by the way, in Michigan. It's not permitted in other states, by the way. New Hampshire, for example. Well, I don't know about that, but some states do not permit it. Let's put it to you that way. And they shouldn't permit it, by the way. Nevertheless, one Democratic consultant is releasing a robocall this afternoon urging Democrats to vote for Santorum specifically to embarrass Romney. His goal also is to prolong the primary process and further weaken Romney for the general election. Remember, the longer the primary process goes on, the better it is for the gentleman in the White House. I use that, of course, with a certain degree of perfume on my tongue. The gentleman in the White House gets to win if this goes on much longer. And that's the problem. And so you have to understand that Santorum is a low blow. It's like punching a fighter below the belt. And that's why Santorum has now shown us for who he is. And he can't win nationally. Romney could win nationally with a little advice going to the center from the left. If he stops being a leftist and starts running to the center. And remember, the American people are primarily conservative, according even to the Gallup poll, which is certainly not a conservative organization. Gallup has shown over and over again that the American people are primarily center-right. And yet, Romney continues to run as a center-left candidate. That's because his advisors are undermining him, misadvising him, doing to him what they did to McCain, and the rest is history. I don't know how to get through to the Romney people. They are destroying him, and they're misadvising him. It's as simple as that. 1-800-449-8255. Pennsylvania, Donald, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Michael, Santorum will never win on a national election, and he won't even carry Pennsylvania, and I'll tell you why. Philadelphia and Pittsburgh alone will give Obama 1 million vote plurality in Pennsylvania. I'm on the record in saying that. He will not even carry his own state. He lost Pennsylvania by 18 percentage points to Robert Casey, the most lopsided senatorial election in Pennsylvania history. Bob Casey, the Democrat, beats Rick Santorum.
Why did Santorum lose his seat?
Well, I assume it was because of the economy, but now that you come out with this information, he can't be trusted. And if he can't be trusted, he won't even carry Pennsylvania. So he'll lose Philly.
Do you think that underneath all of that Bible waving and flag waving, he's just a dirty politician?
I think he's a dirty politician, but I don't judge anyone on their religion anyway. They could be an atheist, and I'd still vote for them.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. I want to know what they are as a manager of my nation right now. And can they inspire us? And can they inspire the military? And will they stand by our military instead of undermining the way Obama does? That's what's important to me.
There's nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. The economy is first, and religion is, in my opinion, the last. The very last is the religion.
Totally right. I agree 100% with you. 100%. It's a person's business. I'm not voting for the head of a church here. I'm voting for the head of America. And the Constitution is very clear on it. There has to be a separation of church and state.
Religion is even more meaningless than his sex life. I would take his sex life more personal than his religion.
Well, we can go into that. I don't think I really want to know much more about Rick Santorum's sex life, do you?
Well, I don't really care about it, but he'll never win on a national level, ever. He really don't stand a chance on a national level.
I agree. He's not appealing. At this point, it's over. Do you think Romney stands a chance nationally?
He will not carry Pennsylvania. He will not carry his own.
But you sound like a man who really knows what you're talking about. Do you think if Romney's the designated Republican, he could beat Obama?
Certainly in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a swing state if Romney's on the ticket. But if Santorum's on the ticket, Obama will carry Pennsylvania by a million votes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
How many illegal aliens are voting in the election?
Probably,
you know, the Democrats fought like heck to make certain that there's no voter ID, and that's because they can then run illegal aliens primarily from Mexico into the polls. Why would we want a system that's so corrupt as this?
Well, I agree. Too many are running in the election.
I hear is Hispanic this, Hispanic that. You got to carry the Hispanic vote. What happened to the conservative white vote? What, suddenly they disappeared? Where'd the conservative white man go? All of a sudden he left his own country? Well, I got to suddenly worry about what the illegal alien thinks? How did this happen? You know how it happened. It happened because the Democrats are a filthy, dirty party and the Republicans don't have the guts to stand up to them, in plain English. Okay. Michigan, Jimmy, you're calling from Michigan, so you're up on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, don't waste your vote on Ron Paul. Waste it on Rick Santorum instead. You know, really, I'm a Ron Paul guy, and I make no bones about it. You might not agree right. with that. That's fine. This is America.
No, I'm not knocking you. Ron Paul has some wonderful statements. I don't think he's electable whatsoever.
Okay, that's well and good, but this is primary. There has been a lot of people in the UAW, the MEA, and what have you, that have put out editorials telling people to vote for Ron Paul, which I think is absolutely wrong, because they want to stick it to the Republican establishment. And in a lot of ways, I kind of like that, because I'm a Republican precinct delegate. I'm running for office myself as township supervisor and what have you. And I kind of like the fact that we're going to stick it to them a little bit. But I don't want to do it in a false way. And I think that that's...
Oh, no, the Republican establishment needs to have something to shake them up. They're nightmarish. I agree.
Yeah, and Ron Paul is basically... They called him the delegate hunter. And that's what he's doing. He's trying to accumulate enough delegates that he can have a voice at the convention. That's what he really wants. He wants to carry out his message because it's about us. It's about the people that are following him. It's about the guys that are going to become county sheriff, the guys that are going to – Justin Amash up in
– So you're saying it's good for Ron Paul to stay in the mix right till the end so he has some influence over Romney if he's the selected son.
Exactly. And that,
but do you actually think Romney would listen to Ron Paul? Do you think he'd actually listen to one word Ron Paul has to say?
Probably not, because I don't think that he sees a problem with the Federal Reserve and some of the other things that Ron Paul has to say. But he might. He might, because there's enough of us in the Republican.
Yo, what does Ron Paul want? What does Ron Paul want, is to go print Confederate money? I mean, what is he talking about?
No.
Sounds like Ron Paul wants us to go in and look up and save your Confederate money. The South will rise again. I mean, that's what Ron Paul sounds like. He sounds like a post-Civil War lunatic to me half the time.
I agree with you.
You do know that there were people who went around America saying, save your Confederate money. The South will rise again. That's what Ron Paul looks like to me.
Right, but people are missing the message, and it's because he only has a short time. He doesn't have enough time to explain what he's talking about. You've got to.
But I've heard some of his foreign policy statements that get me very, very, have me very, very worried. But nevertheless, you know what? If it came down to it and he can't win, I'd rather have Ron Paul in the White House than Obama. Ask me why. One reason. I know there's less of a chance of you or I winding up in an internment camp under Ron Paul than there is under Obama. How do you like that? You want to bring it right down to the fundamental issue of the National Defense Authorization Act that Obama snuck in on New Year's Eve? It's the most unconstitutional act of any president in American history. Democrats are saying that. Former advisors to Gore are even worried about it, giving this much power to a president. Obama did it.
But wouldn't he be a great Secretary of Treasury?
Who?
Fantastic. Ron Paul.
Well, sure, if you're a man who bought Confederate dollars a penny on the thousand, sure. Well, if you have a couple of million Confederate dollars, he'd be great.
What if you took the...
I love all these people who hate the Federal Reserve, and then they say to me, the dollar's worthless, but wave a dollar near them, you'll see them jump at it. like a pigeon going for a piece of bread. I mean, it's unbelievable. The dollar's worthless. Our currency's garbage. All I know is if I had a dollar, I could buy something with it. I know it's worthless, okay? With a dollar, you could buy a couple of bananas. You could buy a half a cup of coffee somewhere. You know, you could buy a quarter of a gallon of gasoline, but it still has some value. I love it's worthless. I don't need it. But go wave one around a Ron Paul light. You'll see if they'll have the dollar. No, drop the dollar on the floor. See if they'll pick it up. That's the test. I remember just to lighten things up, I was reviewing some of the childhood stories I'm going to include in a book a year from now, right? And one of them is my father, rest in peace, used to play tricks on the customers for funny. We'd get bored when I was a little kid, and boy, did I love him for it. He would, he taught me to solder quarters to nails. And then we would nail during off hours. He had a store, you know, with a stall in another in a market. We'd nail the soldered coin into the counter, okay, in like a corner of it. Now, remember, it's nailed into the counter. And he would say to me, look, Michael, I want you to see what people are like. We're going to look away and make believe we don't see them. But the minute our eyes turn away, watch what they do. Watch them reach for the quarter. And sure enough, as a kid 5 years old, you know how much fun that was to do that with a father? He'd nail a quarter in, and you'd see people going by on a busy Sunday, right? And he'd say, turn around with me. We'd turn around. Meanwhile, we'd be watching the counter with a corner of our eye, and you'd see people looking up in the ceiling, and the hand would be reaching for the quarter, and they'd pull it, and it wouldn't come off. You'd see their faces. That, to me, is what the Ron Paul voters are like. You know, wave a dollar in front of them. They'll reach for it anyway. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I don't come here as a religious leader, and I don't come here as a saint. I come here as a citizen who has had a life that at times has fallen short of the glory of God, who has had to seek God's forgiveness and had to seek
God.
Reconciliation.
Oh,
and I speak
God.
To you as a citizen.
Oh, please. Oh, my God. Newt Gingrich. Is the white whale toast? Is the white whale toast is the only question. Can you believe this, himself, wrapping himself now in God? And listen to 17 now, the white whale.
But it's important to remember that many of the most important people in developing the American Revolution were clergy.
Oh, my God.
In fact, it was totally appropriate to think that our beliefs both related to each other.
Oh, God.
What we believed in religion and what we believed about the nature of our country were actually together, not apart.
Listen, this is such rubbish. It's just frightening. It's frightening to see a man of such a low quality talking about God and the American Revolution and clergy. What is he talking about? And that's why we know that the Republican field is in trouble. In fact, we just got an article a few minutes ago that Wall Street is betting that Obama's going to win again, primarily because of what we see going on. It's horrible to tell you this. I hate to say this, and anything could happen. Maybe the people will catch on to the scandals and the corruption. But the headline just came out, and probably it's a puff piece by CNBC, owned by General Electric. You know, markets start to anticipate Obama victory in November. While Obama may not be Wall Street's ideal candidate, stock prices are rising on growing expectations he'll be reelected this November. Why? It's what I told you 3 months ago. I told you exactly the same thing. Part of that market prose is simply that investors feel more certain about who will be in the White House for the next 4 years and which policies they will have to deal with. Obama's chances of winning in November increased to above 60% on Tuesday, up from about 50% at the beginning of the year, according to the odds on PredictionMarketIntrade.com. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 has hit a new bull market high and is up 9% on the year. And so that tells you an awful lot right there. The only good news from this poll is that this polling group or this polling site puts the Republicans' chances of controlling the Senate and the House after the November elections at 72% and 64% respectively. And that brings up another Wall Street maxim, market likes gridlock. And the reason is that a single party can't mess it up. Gridlock is good. I told you that. Gridlock is the mark of a democracy. How many times have I told you that? You want a one-party system? Come to California and take a look at what it has produced. You have Democrat, ranging from communist all the way to the right side of socialism. That's what you have running the state of California. And corruption that you can't believe. You have sex scandals that are covered up by the local newspapers. The state attorney general, former attorney general, now the state treasurer, Bill Lockyer, go look that one up and see what his wife is doing. And now you ask yourself, why is it not being covered by the local papers? Why is it not on radio? Why is it not in the Bay Area? The answer is because that's what a one-party system produces in the media. That's what you have in a fascist state, a one-party rule, and that's what California is. Never mind they call themselves liberals. They are as corrupt as they come, and they're going to get even more corrupt. The country is bankrupt. The state is more bankrupt. The country is corrupt. The state is more corrupt. And so look at it. You know, I love California. I love California. I love flying back to California. I wonder at the beauty of the land. I fly over the set. You know, when I come in from the East Coast, I get to see again why I moved here. It's the most beautiful state on earth, polluted by the most corrupt party in history, the Democrat Party. And there's nothing you can do about it. And they won't even recognize it. You drive over the Golden Gate Bridge, as I do, and the roads are broken. The minute you enter San Francisco, there are broken streets. You would think that an iconic structure such as the Golden Gate Bridge, the most important tourist site on the West Coast would be the Golden Gate Bridge. You would think the corrupt city fathers and mothers would understand they have to pave the streets leading up to the Golden Gate Bridge, wouldn't you? You're wrong. The money goes up their noses or into their pockets or the pockets of their cronies because the streets are broken. Go take a look at it. And yet you'll never see a story about the streets leading up to the Golden Gate Bridge being broken. The state is corrupt. The state is broken. It's overrun by illegal aliens. They have sucked the state dry. There was a time that we talked about cutting off medication and education for illegal aliens, which should have been done, and the state would be solvent $15 to $25 billion a year to educate and medicate non-citizens. That's the reason the Democrats have power, is because they use the illegal aliens at the polls. And the National Democrat Party is not too far behind, if not far behind at all. It's probably nose to nose. So believe me, it is very, very sad to live in a one-party system. But the state is gorgeous. I come in from the East Coast, and you fly over Nevada, and the next first thing you see after Area 51 are the snow-capped Sierra Nevada. And there is plenty of snow, by the way. We're supposed to get another 30 to 40 inches in the next day or two. Bye-bye global warming. All the global, the warmest, all the psychotics are saying, see, I told you, the lowest snowpack. And well, now all of a sudden we have a March miracle. A big storm coming in, and there's going to be plenty of skiing this weekend. So and the reservoirs will be full again in the spring when the snow melt comes in. But the point of the matter is you see that. Then you fly in over the foothills. Then you see the most beautiful agricultural land on earth, which is the alluvial plain called the River Valley, the Sacramento River Valley. It's the most gorgeous thing in the world to see that. It's stirring. Then you come in over the hills of the East Bay, the green hills of the cities that you may not have heard of, Livermore, Dublin, beautiful, gorgeous. And then maybe land down in Oakland. It's really a beautiful ride. It's something to behold, and it gives you a new feeling again for the beauty of the state of California, unfortunately. Man is what man is. And when you have a one-party system, you have corruption. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. That's the state of California as it is today. There is no Republican presence whatsoever, primarily because of the illegal aliens who have been used as a tool to engineer this corrupt party into power and keep them there no matter what. Okay? So there it is. And America's not too far behind. So let's go back to the callers. Are there any exit polls, schmexit polls? Race for Michigan, bitter to the end, and we got sanatorium unqualified to be anything, not even a county coroner by what I have seen him do. If you haven't caught it yet on the Savage Nation, I want you to listen to what Rick Sanatorium, the unsanitary sanatorium, has done. This is what he put out for Democrats to do. Listen.
Next Tuesday, Democrats will have the opportunity to vote in Michigan's open primary. All we have to do is ask for a Republican primary election ballot. Democrats can help embarrass Mitt Romney and expose him as the weak frontrunner that he is by supporting Rick Santorum on Tuesday. Please press 1 if you are committed to voting for Rick Santorum in next week's GOP primary. Please do not waste your vote on Ron Paul. Vote Rick Santorum on Tuesday, February 28th.
This shyster, Rick Santorum, has shown he has no character, no qualifications for the presidency. He is a Machiavellian loser. They threw him out in his own state. The best comment ever made about Rick Santorum, I have to say, is that made by Donald Trump, who said he's like the kid who's a high school dropout who wants to get into the Wharton School of Business. That's who Rick Santorum really is. He's a cheater. This is cheating. This is, if you are a boxer, it's hitting Mitt Romney below the belt and saying, I didn't do it, and if I did do it, it's okay because he did it too. No good, foul ball, you're out on Sanitary Sanatorium. I hope it's the last we see of you.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what's on MichaelSavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, borders, language, and culture. Inside the mind of the hateful loser. Iran military chief says the Quran burning can be resolved by burning the White House and hanging U.S. commanders. Schmuck, take a look at his eyes. Coming soon, the new bestseller from Michael Savage that can save America, Trickle Down Tyranny, crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. Obama to cut health care benefits for the military. White House will not let reporters see the apology to the warlord of Afghanistan, Karzai. GOP establishment frets over Romney's conservative tack. 73% of voters believe corporate tax should be lower. They reject the tax hike that Obama is seeking. Also on MichaelSavage.com, George Soros, the rich man who is hated around the world. Questions arise over fire sale of Solyndra's assets. Ha! No kidding. Report says internet radicalizes U.S. Muslims quickly. Shocking. A man named Mickey Weinstein wants a U.S. general court-martialed because he used the word God in a prayer. Who is Mickey Weinstein? You don't want to know. Obamacare hurts Obama in swing states. Hey, have you seen the article on the left-wing attack dogs who were caught in their own scandal? David Brock of Media Matters, funded by George Soros, paid his former boyfriend $850,000 in what he says was blackmail money. Isn't diversity grand? Father arrested because four-year-old drew a picture of a gun. That's Canada for you. Italian cruise ship was adrift in pirate-infested waters, a sister ship of the capsized Costa Concordia. Hey, what's with these ships? Finally, on MichaelSavage.com, go to the bottom left if you love birds, as I do. You can take a picture of San Francisco's green parrots, immortalized in a book and a movie. Unbelievable, the green parrots of Telegraph Hill. They are now joining a flight to the suburbs. They've learned what most people have learned. The suburbs are better. All that and more right there on MichaelSavage.com, as well as the following breaking stories. Army replaces soda machines with hydration stations. Ann Romney, I could strangle the press. Maine Senator Olympia Snow to retire. Obama hits Romney on auto bailout. Third student dies in Ohio school shooting. Apparently he was a bullied outcast, and he was encouraged, I guess, to defend himself. Trump says OPEC leaders are laughing at us. CEO has resigned over close ties to Obama. That's the light-squared CEO. He's the, well, you got to know the light-squared story. Yeah, big story. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
How many states do you think John Kennedy would have gotten if he gave a Rick Santorum speech back in 60?
Three. I got maybe Massachusetts. I think Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. We laugh because it would have been an absurd statement to say he wants the church leaders to tell him what to do.
Look, what Santorum is doing, I mean, that whole state.
Is he a theocrat?
It's either dumb or it's
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Gene.
I mean, it is.
Well, it's a prize winner. You can nail this. Is he a theocrat? Does he believe churches should run states?
Yes. Yeah, I think he is a theocrat. I think he believes deep down. Out inside. And I think that's obviously dangerous for this country. That's not who we are.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with, the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better? Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com. I want to read a section from Abuse of Power because many of you have been asking me to read my favorite pieces of the book, what I like the best. And let's see, what do I like the best? I like the fact that my character Jack has Asperger's syndrome, a mild case of it. And when he gets, he's an action figure. He's a very good action figure, but he's got a flaw, if you want to call it a flaw. I don't know that it is a flaw. I think that most people are really flawed. In fact, anyone I've ever met is flawed. I know I'm flawed. And the only people who are not flawed are fake people, characters in movies and books who are not flawed. But real people all have flaws, no matter how tough a man may be. Somewhere within inside of him there's a soft spot or a weak spot, and they have to learn how to deal with it. So in my case, I've created a character, Jack, who has a mild case of Asperger's, and when he gets very stressed out, he withdraws to a secret apartment that he has in San Francisco where he works on clocks because his father had been a clockmaker, and he learn how to fix watches. And listening to ticking of clocks calms him down. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful part of the book. I'm surprised no one's ever seen that part of it. And so here it is. Let's see. So Jack goes to his secret apartment. Jack thought of his apartment on Union Street as his fortress of solitude. The only people who knew he owned it were his real estate broker and his former wife, and he wanted to keep it that way. A 22-story, 60s-era complex right off the Embarcadero was just a block from the bay. You could elude a rampaging army in this place. One day he'd be smiling and winking at one Norwegian child in a stroller in the elevator. The next he'd be chatting with a businessman from Tokyo. He loved the anonymity of the apartment building. The view from his window was spectacular. Facing north, it looked out across the bay and just beyond the Richmond Bridge. You could see the East Brother Light Station, a small island lighthouse that had been in operation for over 133 years. Let me pause right there. My novel takes place in San Francisco Bay, in San Francisco, streets of San Francisco, on the Bay of San Francisco, and has scenery that it's not yet been seen in books, ever. Do you know that this book has not been mentioned once in one media outlet in San Francisco? You'd think that even though my politics are different from those of the statists and the communists, they would have to celebrate such a novel after all 6 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. And yet, to show you how low their minds are, they haven't even noted that the book exists. It hasn't stopped me from making it into a bestseller, has it? And yet this book will better describe San Francisco Bay than almost anyone has ever done. Isn't that amazing? So here's a character who lives on a yacht on San Francisco Bay. Many scenes are set in San Francisco Bay and in the streets of San Francisco, yet not one note anywhere in the media in the Bay Area. Shows you how left-wingers operate.
Savage.
Prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
Now that song was prophetic, he had premonitions, and he wrote it. I mean, I believe Bob Dylan wrote that song. That's why he's going to last with a great memory of what a great artist he is. I was talking about premonitions and many other things. Play it again for a minute. No one wants to hear me.
Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall, for he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging.
Yeah, whatever. It's too complicated. I turned it off already. And he shall judge between the nations, and shall decide for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now that's from Isaiah. And many of us have learned that. And many of us believe that that day should come, and that Obama's the man to usher in this age of peace. That would be wonderful. Universal peace is a wonderful idea. And he talks about nuclear disarmament. And 2 days later, he finds out that Iran had a secret nuclear plant they were building, and that North Korea is still building rockets and launching. And he's talking about disarming while they're still arming. So you can't disarm while crazy people are arming, can you? Oh, you can. If you're a diehard liberal with your head in the sand and you're locked into your doxy, you can do things like that. Why? Because Isaiah then says later on, the child shall behave insolently against the aged. This man is like a child. Obama is like a child, doesn't even understand the world he's in. Why? Because the world has been made friendly for him his entire life for some reasons. And you can pretty much figure the reasons out. Very bright man, up to a point. Not a very learned man, a very well-read man, only in a certain side of the spectrum. And so he sticks to the teachings and the preachings that he was raised on, such as that of Jeremiah Wright, as far as I could tell. And by the way, as far as beating the swords into plowshares, it's an interesting one. Later on in the Bible, it has the opposite. That's the interesting thing about the Bible, is you can virtually find anything you want to find in there. You find one thing, then you find the other. This is the paradox of the Bible, because it was written over a long period of time with different prophets, and they all didn't agree on things. They had different moods. Maybe one day Ezra had a hangover, and he wrote one thing, and the other day Esther wrote another day, you know, let's say Malachi. Malachi's wife kicked him out of the bedroom, so he wrote, "The burden of the word of the Lord is," you know, he's got mad at everybody, starts cursing, and things are going to happen to you. 2 days later, if you talk to Malachi, he was a different guy. She let him back in. It's not so bad, let me tell you the truth. So you turn from Malachi 1 to Malachi 10, and it's already, "Believe me, Moses wasn't so bad, and he saith, you shall have a great day." Beginning, it starts out that the Lord is going to smite everybody. You know, maybe there were no dentists in those days. You don't know when the olive growers what they were going through. Well, what kind of pain he had. So in chapter 1 already, the world's coming to an end, and the priest this, and by chapter 10 already, the wife let him back in, and he got the laughing gas. He felt better. And he says, "It'll be wonderful. The land of destruction shall not be." See, it depends upon what mood you're in. They can find anything in the Bible. I'm not mocking God. Do you think I'm crazy? Who do you think I am, Al Gore? I don't mock God. I've got to look at it, though. Sometimes I wonder. I got to wonder about this thing. I mean, I know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9. I understand that. The French change that to the fear of the law is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah, it's a joke in France, but it's true. They changed the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom to the fear of the law is the beginning of wisdom. That's probably still true in many poorer neighborhoods. Of course, if you're a Democrat and you got money, that you can throw that proverb out the window. Here's another one. The woman folly is riotous. She is thoughtlessness and knoweth nothing. Why? She was mad because she didn't want to go out with him. So she got mad at the good-looking woman in town. For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth, said Micah. This guy was really, everything was no good to him. Everything he saw was no good. In those days, if they had an ISDN line, he could have made a living. I mean, everything Micah wrote, he could have made a buck in those days. If they had an ISDN line, a radio, if Marconi had come along before, he could sit at home and he could say, "For the rich are full of violence, and the inhabitants are spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore I do smite thee with a grievous wound. I do make thee desolate because of thy sins." He could have said that on the radio. He would have lost his advertisers. All right, but the ratings would have gone up. Joe's Olive Garden would have pulled out. That's all. All right, we're out of that one. Who's that guy, Micah? We can't have that. We got to sell olives all over the Middle East. Muslim, Jew, Christian. We can't have this kind of... Who is this guy? Cut off. Yeah, he's got big ratings, man. Look at Micah. He's got a big following. They all like him. I don't care. We can't have controversy. Joe's Olives are for everyone. Joe's Olives are for everybody. We can't have Micah. No Micah. Then he goes on. "Woe is me, for I am as the last of the summer fruits." Well, let's look. Okay, that was premonition right there. "As the grape gleanings of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat, nor first ripe fig which my soul desireth. The godly man has perished out of the earth, and the upright among men is no more." He was writing this thousands of years ago. "The godly man has perished out of the earth, and the upright among men is no more. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net." All right, what are you going to do about it? Who's going to advertise on a show like that? I mean, who would want to advertise a product with a guy like Micah, right? He says, "I wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Though I am fallen, I shall arise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord is a light unto me." All right, very good. Maybe a light bulb company. Maybe they could have gotten GE with the early bulbs, something like that, run on olive oil or whatever. An early ecological light bulb. Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they broke faith with me, says Ezekiel. See, because they went into, they had iniquity, so God punished them. That's very bad for business. Can't talk about morality on the radio. You can't talk about God punishing you for anything you do, because you're going to alienate half of the people who buy things. So you got to stick to no politics and no religion. Talk sports. That's safe. That's all. Can talk about sports. I have 25,000 sports stations talking about a guy in a striped uniform with a stick and a ball and what he did that day, and argue over it. "No, he had a 571. You're wrong. It was a 493 in 1949. I don't know how grown men do it. I just don't understand it. I could see watching a game once in a while. The burden of Babylon, I'm reading from Isaiah now in the Savage Nation. Whether you've never touched the Bible in your life or you are familiar with it, please listen, because it's a footprint, excuse me, a blueprint for what is coming. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see, set ye up an ensign upon the high mountain, lift up the voice unto them, wrote God, wave the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. And he goes on, they come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole earth. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, as destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Therefore shall all hands be slack, and every heart of man shall melt, and they shall be affrighted. Pangs and throes shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman in travail. They shall look aghast at one another. Their faces shall be aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, Taliban, cruel and full of wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation. Of course, we mean your earth, Taliban, and to destroy you, the sinners thereof, out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will visit upon the world their evil, and upon the wicked their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the tyrants, Mr. and Mrs. Taliban. I will make man more rare than fine gold in your land.
Savage.
We notice here in Tunisia that most of the candidates from the both sides run towards the Zionist lobbies to gain their support in the states. And afterwards, once they are elected, they come to show their support like for countries like Tunisia and Egypt. For a common Tunisian or a common Arab citizen, how would you reassure and gain his trust again once, given the fact that you are supporting his enemy as well?
Well, first let me say, you will learn as your democracy develops that a lot of things are said in political campaigns that should not bear a lot of attention. There are comments made that certainly don't reflect the United States, don't reflect our foreign policy, don't reflect who we are as a people.
Religious freedom, fundamental to America, right? Well, many of us see the Obama administration attacking religious freedom, both in this nation and abroad. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation is the executive director of the Foundation for Democracy in Iran, Ken Timmerman. Ken Timmerman, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you again.
Why don't you give my audience, the Savage Nation, an update on this story out of Iranian pastor, Christian pastor, obviously being condemned to death by the Muslim fanatics in Iran.
Well, Michael, some extraordinary things have happened in the story of the Iranian pastor, Yousef Nadarkhani. When I issued a statement last week about this, the State Department had been remarkably silent about his faith. In fact, about his fate. And as I looked at the State Department website, they had just a handful of brief statements about this, whereas they had hundreds and hundreds of comments about gay rights, and they were talking about how the State Department would be pushing gay rights around the world, but they didn't seem to care much about international religious freedom. Well, you know, just over the past week, they have done something extraordinary, and they posted these comments to just about every possible State Department website. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. If you Google today Nadarkhani and look at the State Department website, there are hundreds and hundreds of mentions, all of them identical, by the way, on blog pages and the rest of it, mentioning this Iranian pastor and mentioning him in exactly identical terms. It's almost as if they hired a webmaster to proliferate the mention of him to protect themselves from the kind of criticism that I and others have leveled, that they are more, that this administration and Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State care more about gay rights than they do about religious freedom.
Well, is there anything that this administration or Congress could do to save this man from being executed for nothing?
Well, I think the public outcry, Michael, has been tremendous, and I think it's had a dramatic impact. I am convinced that the only reason Pastor Yousef is still alive today, and he's been in jail now for almost 870 days, is because of the public outcries, because of people like you who are listening to this program have either called your congressman, you've called the Department of State, You've called your senators and you've said, please intervene. There are dozens of members of Congress who have been circulating letters in his support and sending them to Secretary of State Clinton. And I think that that has really made a difference. Not only has Congress heard, not only has the administration heard, but I think the regime in Tehran has heard as well.
What has the Obama administration done to religious freedom?
Well, we've seen this extraordinary assault on the Catholic Church here in America, and in fact, not just the Catholic Church, but all believers, when the Department of Health and Human Services issues this decree that all institutions in America must provide health coverage that includes things like abortifacients and abortion coverage and whatever. But it's not just here in America. You know, they are continuing to promote spending taxpayer dollars to promote abortion overseas. They are continuing to promote Sharia law here in U.S. courts. They are continuing to promote Islamic regimes in the Middle East, which I think is an absolute catastrophe. Hillary Clinton has come out and said, for example, that there are good Islamists and bad Islamists. And what she means by this, as she goes on to explain, is that the good Islamists in Turkey are regimes that we can work with, whereas the bad Islamists, such as the Islamic Republic of Iran, we can't. Well, I think that's an artificial distinction, and I think it's a dangerous distinction. Islamists want to see Sharia law and a world caliphate. Some of them appear more moderate than others, but they all have that same goal. That same goal in common. And in fact, if you look at Iran and Turkey, they are working in concert today. So I think this administration has been dangerously, has shown a dangerous disregard of the truth, and we will pay for it as Americans in the future.
You claim that gay rights are more important to this administration than religious rights. Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, you see the State Department and the Obama administration promoting an agenda of gay rights around the world and here in the United States as well. And they seem to care more about this and spend more money doing this than they do, than they care about international religious freedom, and certainly than they care about religious freedom here in this country. I find this disgraceful. I think that most Americans who are tolerant and would like to see the United States be an open society to a variety of religious beliefs and personal lifestyle, nevertheless, don't want their taxpayer dollars being used to promote things that go against their moral values. I think that's what this administration is doing. They're trying to divide the Catholic Church, for example, into so-called liberal or moderate wings, and the bishops or the clergy who condemn the lifestyle that the administration is trying to promote. So I think this is an attack on religious freedom. It's an attack on organized religion, on the church, and it's an attack on the morality of ordinary Americans.
Where can we read more?
Well, look, one of the groups that's been, I think, instrumental in promoting the story of Yusuf Nadarkhani has been Jay Sekulow and his Institute for Law and Justice. You can find them on the Internet. They've been extremely helpful. The Foundation for Democracy in Iran, which is a group that I chair, it's iran.org. We've been working on this case for quite some time. You know, there are groups here in the United States who care about international religious freedom. You have the Religious Freedom Coalition. There's also Christian Solidarity International, a group that I've had the honor and the pleasure to go on mission trips into the Middle East with. So there are a number of groups out there. Open Doors is another one, who do care about religious freedom and do try to help persecuted Christians around the world.
Ken Timmerman, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great to talk to you. And as you know, my statement and other information is available at my campaign website, timmermanforcongress.com. And I think your listeners are well acquainted with my personal website as well, kentimmerman.com.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
All right. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So, this is a good segment for me to develop an idea because it doesn't have a sharp stop set at the end of it. So I get a chance to actually develop a thought that's not interrupted. But all right, that's radio. It's commercial radio. You got it. I love it. I mean, it gives me four segments an hour to develop ideas. But this is actually one of the better ones because so I'm wasting time. So what do? Yesterday I didn't feel good. My throat was bothering me. So I took like a day off. Now, so what did I do on my day off? Watch, it'll get political. Don't get worried already. Now you see the hands twitching for the dial. They want to hear Obama bashing. Just bear with me. We've already done the prayer breakfast already. So I went to the DeYoung Museum, as I said. I went to see my favorite paintings. I averted the school children noise as best I could. Although I must say I enjoyed seeing the bright children there. It was beautiful to watch the docents teaching the bright children. The brightest children that I saw there were those in Catholic school uniforms, mainly the Chinese children, who are beautiful to watch. I mean, they're attentive and they're smart looking. And it was nice to watch the little old ladies with gray hair teaching them about art and colonial America. It was beautiful to listen to, you know, in passing. I didn't hang around like. So anyway, I go in the gallery, look at the stuff. There's that painting that I love, Marin in 1880, a Marin County hillside, gorgeous. Because you can still see settings like that. Nothing's changed. You get away from the BMWs. And then I say, okay, now I have the rest of the day now. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What I never do. I'm always preparing for the show. It was a nice day. The acacias are in bloom already, which is not unusual, by the way, despite everyone saying it's an early winter, which it is. Acacias always bloom late January, early February, like clockwork. But some of the plum trees are blooming, which is a little early. They're like a month early. Some of the plum trees are already in full bloom. They're gorgeous, but they're early by a month or so. So it's like weird, you know, like you would call it on the East Coast an inversion layer. Here we call it a low pressure system where there's no wind. Great for power boating, terrible for sailboating, and fantastic for drinking wine in the afternoon outdoors in North Beach, which is what I did. So I go to a restaurant and I sit. I never drink during the day, almost never. At least not in the last 30 years. I did yesterday. I enjoyed it. I ate some calamari, cold calamari, had some wine. Then I had, if you want to know, ravioli with pomodoro sauce. And then down the street, there's a new restaurant opened up, which I didn't go into, Original Joe's. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was jammed. Unbelievable. It's like old San Francisco, the blue-collar guys, like primarily the older, amazing. Older, younger, but I guess the price point is good, spaghetti and meatballs type. You got to hear the story. I don't know the folks who own it. I didn't know them. And I think they're the Dugan family, and they own the Original Joe's, which is an institution for like a very long time. So they open in North Beach, packed. So I go in. Guy I knew says, you got to go in and see what's going on in there, blah, blah, blah. I go in. The owner is really nice, dapper old guy. He says, wait, you got to meet my son. His son is an ex-basketball player, like 6'10". Great kid. And he says to me, wait, Savage, before you leave, you got to meet my mother. She's your biggest fan. Wait, you got to hear this story. We go in the back, and the mother says, Michael, and she says, I've written you for years about meatballs. She says, I'm the original one who gave you the meatball recipe. Remember you read it on the air 10 years ago. I said, I get more mail about meatball recipes than anything else I've ever said in all the years on radio. She says, well, I actually make meatballs. So we had a nice conversation. Beautiful people. I didn't eat anything. I'd already eaten, you know what I'm saying? But they're definitely going to be on the list now if I could ever get in there. You know, I got Teddy, then the car to deal with. You know what I mean? It's like an issue. I'll probably not, but I'll get takeout, try it in the apartment, you know, that kind of thing. So that was that. But I have a repetitive dream that I wanted to tell you about because, like, what do I believe in? But what this comes back to, the National Prayer Breakfast, what do I believe in? Well, I don't know. I told you survival. Maybe trying to have some pleasure in my life before I kick. Can you still enjoy yourself? I can. I actually am a lucky man. I can feel pleasure with my body. I can experience pleasure through my eyes. I know Wordsworth's great line, which is wine comes in at the lips, love comes in at the eyes, and that's all we shall ever know until the day we die. I still know that one. It's still beautiful. And in that sense, I'm still in love with beauty and with life. So that's very good. A lot of people are burned out by 30. They're just husks. So I can still experience beauty, animals, you know, nature, and great food. But in terms of faith in people, I don't really have faith in people. If you have no faith in yourself, you know, who are you going to rely upon? You know, inevitably, after the fall, after the apple, after Eve ate the apple, you can't have faith in your fellow man. You can try, but you're going to be disappointed because they're fallen angels. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Don't rely upon your fellow man, no matter how much you rely, you love that person. Inevitably, that human being will fail you because humans are fallible. God, the eternal, can't fail you because God is, period. God is eternal. So what does that mean? What, the crippled baby with leukemia, he didn't fail you there? The school bus with the 75 Christian children that goes off a cliff in Louisiana and they all die with the nuns. That's what, they did something wrong? I don't understand that one. How do you explain that one to me? It's God's will. Okay, you can deal with that one. So, you know, God is not omnipotent. God is omnipresent. We have free choice. I have free association. You may have free choice and believe in God. I have free association. I believe in my mind at this point. That's a funny line. Okay, it's a throwaway line, but it's very funny. I like to play on free association and free choice. I think it's a great line. That's good. That's a good one. That's something that George Carlin could have stolen from me if he was still living. You believe in free choice. I believe in free association. It's how I first defined myself in radio. I remember when I was first starting out, I sent the tapes around. Guys in the business would say, God, you're the best in free association. I didn't even know what it was in that sense. To me, free association means letting your mind, you know, free and run, you know, run with it. Oh, so I was going to say, I have a repetitive nightmare. Do you ever get repetitive nightmares in your life? I'll bet you do. Everyone does, right? I don't know what yours are. This is not a psychiatric session. Here's mine. I have a number of them. One of them on the good side, never mind the bad side, one of the good free, continuous dreams is this, is that I'm walking through the low sloping hills of North Beach in San Francisco. I'm always walking up a slight slope. That's the Italian district of San Francisco, by the way. And all of the architecture is low-rise, wooden frame structures, by and large, with a few abortions, you know, built in the 50s here and there. But beautiful, you know, Fellini-esque. And when the light hits these buildings at a certain time of the day, there's nothing to match it on Earth that I know of. The pastels, you know, it's still magnificent. The Italian at villas here and there. And I'm walking through these streets. And there's one restaurant after another in my dream, and inhabited by middle-aged Italian women. They're always women in their 50s who own these restaurants, and they're small restaurants, and it's I have a choice between one or the other, one after the other in my dream. And I always go from this mama to that mama, looking in the window to see what they're serving and if I want to eat there. And there's always a sort of wry smile that comes back, not a big waving, you know, face with a hand. And that's the dream I have over and over again. Why? I guess food is love, right? Food is love. Meatballs are love. Pasta is love. And so there it is. I'm very lucky to live in San Francisco and still enjoy it and not be oppressed by the psychotics who have stolen the city out from those of us who built it. I want to tell you another story. It's very important. Here comes the politics. So I'm sitting outside the restaurant, having a glass of wine, having the calamari, and it's next to a Chinese clinic. Some free clinic. You have never seen anything like this in your life. You have never seen anything like this in your entire life. It's a free clinic, and there are armies of people going in and out all day long. You see some women, they look like they're 80 with babies. In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. Happy. And I sit there and I say, everything that was promised in communist China, it was like a Mao Zedong poster of what they promised the Chinese people in communist China never delivered. They have it here in San Francisco in spades. Free medical care, free dental, free prescriptions. Over, I never saw anything like it. So I say to the waiters, I don't believe what I'm looking at. They say, are you kidding me? They say it eats our hearts out. We see it all day long from 8 in the morning to late at night. Armies of them going in and out. They say most of them are illegal aliens from China getting free medical care. I said, who's paying for this? Federal, state, local. Federal, state, local. Federal, state, local. It's like a buzz all over the area of how this can go on. So one of the guys says to me, Mike, he said, in Florida, in South Florida, they're busting Medicaid mills like this. The FBI, strike forces are coming in and busting Medicaid mills in South Florida run by various and sundry groups. How did they get away with this? I said, I don't know. Ask your congresswoman. Ask your governor how. I don't know. I'm not a politician. I'm only a guy having a glass of wine, I said to them. But this is now becoming a huge story, and no one can understand why this goes on, how it goes on. It's unbelievable. Everyone's talking about it. No one can believe it. You drive over the Golden Gate Bridge into San Francisco. You want to talk about corruption? Here, here's corruption in a pothole. You drive over the iconic Golden Gate Bridge. You come into San Francisco from Marin County. The road is broken like a third world country for the first 300 yards. You can break your tires on it. It's been like this for years. They won't even fill a pothole. They steal billions of dollars a year out of the tax base. No one knows where it goes. The most corrupt city in America. It makes New Orleans, it makes New Orleans look like a sacred city, what goes on in this city. You cannot believe this place. So you say, well, why do you stay there? Well, the answer is simple. Voltaire, the French philosopher writer, said, well, if you don't like the foibles of the Parisians, why do you live in Paris? Why don't you move to a province? And he said, are you crazy? He said, I write about the foibles of the Parisians. So I learned from Voltaire. I knew him personally, wasn't a bad guy, a little thin, didn't have a sense of aesthetics, truthfully, a little too thin for me, didn't truly appreciate a good meal, but not a bad guy.